The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Yeah.
We don't know if this was a gamilf, right?
No.
A gamilf?
Can we say that?
Here's the thing.
It's a gilf. It's not gamilf.
How are you going to get upset for us for asking you if you knew what head was, and then you're going to drop gamilf in there?
Isn't that like gamicolite? Isn't that like the days? Like, isn't that?
Is that Jen laughing, or is that my grandmother?
It's Jen. I was gonna have her sit this one out, but now I need her. Jen,
I thought it was grandma.
What is a gamilf?
No, we don't. All right, never mind.
Jen, I know gamilf's your age, so don't laugh.
Please stop.
Now live from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That's All Studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
It really feels like if you miss a minute, you miss a lot here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We could parse up, because you guys were talking about your socks, and then we're talking about like your brands of socks and left and right, and all of a sudden, boom, gamilf.
He doesn't know his porn.
Oh my gosh.
He told me to say
that. I did not say that. I said, where was that 10 minutes ago? That would have been funnier to Craig's face.
It's MILF, which is mom, and GILF, which is grandma.
Could it be grandpa?
Can I leave?
Why is he combining the two?
Gabe, you're in charge. So can I leave? I'm done.
I can leave.
Don't you think it's to distinguish between the grandpas and the grandmas?
We don't have to keep doing this, Jen. I hate myself.
Have you seen American Pie?
Who hasn't?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Speaking of, did you see that she was in the news yesterday after saying that she had bed more than 200 people because of Stifler's mom? So I'm sorry, I'm not explaining
this. What are you talking about?
Please context. I'm not explaining this as well as I would like. The actress who played Stifler's mom, Jennifer Coolidge, right? You've seen her in a million different things. She was in Legally Blonde. So came out yesterday that she said that because of that, she slept with more than 200 people following the Stifler's mom role because everybody wanted to hang out with the MILF.
Is that a brag?
I think so.
I think it makes her kind of a whore.
You can't. Still,
now I know you can't say that.
Is this show over yet?
Almost. You know what? This is one of those things where Craig's going to come in.
You want a pregame early game? Come in. We got stuff in the fridge.
I got booze on my desk.
Christ.
Speaking of booze, guys, a lot of Brewers fans have been drinking a lot lately because, well, it could have gone with the Brewers and the booze, but let's continue on this path, shall we? Because they have dropped four straight, okay? And three of them obviously have come since the Josh Hader trade, which there is a sentiment out there, guys, that this Hader trade really messed with team chemistry. It's messed with the mojo, that guys feel like the front office and maybe even higher up the chain, up to the owner, now don't think that they're a team worth winning, which is why they traded off one of their best pieces at the trade deadline. And therefore, why should we even show up? Why should we even try? And that, of course, is resulting in these last three late inning losses that the team has suffered. So my question to you guys is this. Is this just bad timing for a losing streak, which, as we know, Gabe, happen during the course of a long baseball season? In fact, I went back and looked. I think I could pull up three substantial losing streaks during last season. Again, a season when they ultimately made it to the postseason. Four-game loss in September/October. A five-game losing streak September 19th through the 23rd. And another five-game losing streak June 14th through the 18th, going backwards, of course, on the schedule last season. Is this just bad timing for a losing streak, or is it a bad sign for these Brewers, Gabe?
No, it's just an unfortunate timing is all it ends up being. Because you're telling me that, you know, through five innings the other day with Corbin Burnes, he goes five shutout innings, and then all of a sudden in the sixth he goes, oh, I forgot. We stopped caring now because we traded Josh Hader. Now I'm going to give up a bunch of runs to the Pirates in the sixth inning. Like, no, that's just not how any of this works. If the effort was poor, But that hasn't been the issue. It just hasn't been great play. Like, they jump out to a 4-run lead. They eventually lose 8-7. Yes, that looked bad in game one of the series. And then yesterday, once again, they jump out to a lead. They score 3 runs in the sixth. They end up giving up the 5 in the bottom of the sixth. It's not like a bad effort that's being put
but
out there.
You don't think you can talk yourself into bad luck? And let me explain it, Craig. Every time we went to the dome, what's it called? In Minnesota.
The Metrodome?
No.
Triple H?
Is that what it was called?
Yeah, it was the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome.
Okay. He just called you Craig, so I don't think names right now are like
okay.
top of mind.
Back to the, I don't think it's called the Metrodome. It's called something else.
No, it's called the Metrodome.
All right, it's called the Metrodome. Great. We would talk ourselves into bad luck.
Sure.
We would be like, all right, third quarter, something bad's going to happen here every single time. And sure as sugar, you know. Terrell Buckley gets beat because he doesn't think Jim McMahon can throw it over the top. And it was just one thing after another that we talked ourselves into. You don't think that's happening here?
No, I really don't. Baseball losing streaks happen. As I mentioned yesterday, the Pirates beat the Dodgers 5 out of the 6 games they played this year. I can't explain that. The Pirates aren't that good of a team to be beating the Dodgers 5 out of 6 times. But that's something that happened.
So this is coincidence.
Yes, I think it's purely coincidental. Like, after one game, sure. But, like, guys get hurt all the time. Like, so after trading away Josh Hader, they decide to just fold it up. But a lot of the same guys, after Christian Yelich got hurt in 2019, decided to rally together.
I've had a hard time trying to explain how I feel about this all week, and I think I finally figured it out, but as we're all going to find out, probably not. The way I look at it is, at some point, if you're a player, who's to say they don't view this trade as a, wait a second, why are we getting rid of Josh Hader? Not a this shouldn't affect us, this is our job, the compartmentalizing that you and Jen have been talking about all week, which is absolutely accurate and correct, and Brandon Woodruff even said as much earlier this week about this, but at some point, can it be like, why did they do that? That's the weird thing to it. It doesn't affect them at some point.
I think you can be confused about it, but I just think of as the competitor in you, wouldn't you just rally like they do in Major League and say, bleep those guys. Like, let's go win it for us.
Sure. Right. At some point that has to change.
But instead, like, you're just going to fold in? Like, that's... Then they've got some deep... If that's the case, if trading away one player can just fold you... Like a lawn chair?
There's a bigger issue.
Then there's bigger issues out there.
Jen, I'll ask you the
clubhouse.
The same thing I asked Gabe yesterday, which was at what point... So this is now 4 losses in a row, the 3 weird ones, of course, to the Pirates. At what point does it become a bad sign? Like, to me, right now it's a coincidence, bad coincidence, and it's trending bad, but it's only 3 games. At what point does it become a bad sign?
If you keep losing, right? And they're... Look, it's not as though it's just the pitching staff, right? We saw defensive miscues by this team, right? I could argue if it was just a couple of the guys in the bullpen. And again, there is some coincidence to the way that they have lost some of these games, being late relievers, giving up runs and whatnot. But we also saw these defensive miscues. So it's not as though... I could almost make an argument if it were exclusively the guys in the bullpen that, yes, they had been more dramatically affected by Hader's loss. You think about the chemistry in the bullpen. You think about those guys hanging out there in their weird little room, you know, it's called the bullpen, I know, but their weird little area in the ballpark and whatnot, and like how that can affect the mood and the mojo and all of that. But it's not just them. There are other guys who are having issues and whatnot. And I just think it's bad timing. Like, I just rattled off, you know, the 3 losing streaks last year that happen throughout the course of a baseball season. You know, if something crazy had happened before any of those things, maybe then people would have had peak panic as well. But to me, this is simply bad timing. If these 3 losses to the Pittsburgh Pirates come in June, nobody's fretting about it. If they come a little bit later this month, nobody's fretting about it because losses happen. But because they came coincidentally right after the trade deadline, right after you move Hader, you know, and again, I was telling you guys about the perfect storm the other night when you had the Devin Williams comments, and like, it just feels like, and of course now in the standings, the Cardinals are even with the Brewers. So it just feels like there's a lot of stimulus that is creating this peak panic, but the loss to the Pirates is just bad timing. Oh, and by the way, Gabe, the Pirates are not the worst team in the division, right? I think you're thinking of your parents' Pirates who you would beat every single time you face them. This team is better. And I'm not saying that they're the best team.
They're still
bad.
I'm not saying
But okay, but aren't they third in the division right now?
Yeah, but that, I mean, they're still also, they're also like 20 games below 500.
Yeah, that's bad. But they're not last. Jen is right. Yep, they're not last.
You're right. You're 100% correct. Yep, yep. No, it certainly
no,
could
be
worse.
The only way it happens is if the bullpen is a train wreck now, right? If they turn into a train wreck for whatever reason, then people are just going to hang on and say, yeah, this is a huge mistake. Should have never done it. Right?
Yeah, if you can't figure out the back end of the bullpen, sure.
But doesn't it matter what the issues are? Like, Chu, can't you tell when it's a between-the-ears issue and not a mechanics issue? And can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, if all of a sudden these guys just, like, don't remember how to pitch anymore, to me, that's a mental thing. And I would say each player has to be personally accountable for that. And trying to use the excuse that, well, we traded away one of our best players, our buddy from the bullpen, to me seems weak sauce. Like,
but
to me, that, like, I don't
weird.
Know how you're going to get away with that when, like I've said, every other thing that happens over the course of the season, we expect you to compartmentalize and be able to deal with. Like, that's just crazy to me.
Athletes are weird, though, in how they think. Right?
Explain.
You tell me.
Well, I don't know. It's just the biggest term in football for everyone. I don't care what position it is don't see ghosts. You know? I don't know if there's an equivalent in baseball. But it was like, don't see goals. Just go out there and play, you know? I mean, Devin Williams, when he – and I've never really heard him speak to reporters, but if I was hearing that for the first time, I'd be like, this guy's got a problem with this, how he couldn't get words out and things like that. Of course that's going to affect his performance on the field. It's like Josh Hader, you know? Josh Hader, people love to talk about, well, not love to talk about, but they talk about how his July was so bad. He was having, I believe, his first child with complications.
Yep.
You can't, players are human, you know? We like to dehumanize them, but they are human, and there's real-world problems. And we went through them when we played football, and things happen at home that you can't flush. And, hey, you got to reach this nine technique, and, hey, your steps are horrible. Well, you know, I'm thinking about what happened at home. They're human. They're not robots.
Yeah.
Gabe, let me ask you this. Is this a part of Wisconsin sports culture? Is this the thing where, again, people think that we're always getting right to the cusp of the championships? Of course, the Bucks notwithstanding when they won the title last year. But, like, is this the thing of, like, we get so close and we can't finish the job. We can't land the plane. Is this a concern for Brewers fans because of a little bit of PTSD?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Because the same thing happened when Giannis, you want to talk about the Bucks when Giannis got hurt? I mean, the sky, I mean, it was Giannis, so of course the sky was falling when Giannis got hurt because, you know, we didn't know if he was going to be back, and then he becomes Superman and comes back and ends up leading the Bucks to a championship despite the knee injury. But yeah, there's a lot of that. You know, where the Brewers have gotten close. They got to a Game 7 in the NLCS in 2019. They should have won, or excuse me, in 2018. They should have won the wild card game in 2019. And, you know, Trent Grisham lets a ball get past him in the outfield. Yeah, last year you're feeling pretty good going in against the Braves. That series goes poorly for you because you couldn't hit. So, yeah. And then you translate over, most Brewers fans are Packer fans as well. And you you compound the failures that the Packers have had. Yeah, it becomes.
And then go to the Badgers when they're up.
Oh, 100%.
In the national championship game, and then all of a sudden the wheel. Yeah, you feel snake bitten. Happens.
100%.
800-990-3776. That, of course, is our old National Bank talk and text line. Let us know what you think. We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Is it bad timing or a bad sign? Chewy, you've been saying this is a bad sign. Are you now in full panic mode as a Brewers fan, as somebody who consumes the games and watches this team? Are you saying they're toast, it's over, it's
done?
No,
but I am eyeballing the bullpen because that can linger, you know? Because all of a sudden, when you try to get it out of your head, kind of makes it even tougher, you know? I don't know. They'll be fine.
Gabe, did you think that Council and Yelich getting out there, getting in the umpire's face, did you think that was trying to rally the team a little bit, trying to give them some juice, kind of like that jump start that maybe they needed?
Nah, I don't know if that's I think, again, that's just something that necessarily happens throughout the course of a baseball season. Like, Yelich struck out 3 times yesterday, so that, like, personal frustration just, you know, brews over for him. And anytime a player like that starts yelling at an umpire. The manager comes out to try to save the player, just ended up not saving the player. Yelich ends up getting tossed, and Hira ends up being the DH for the rest of the game. I think that was more personal frustration for Yelich more than anything, because he had been going good, and then he struck out three times yesterday.
Well, and again, how much are we not talking about how terrible this team has been with runners in scoring position? Like, again, it's super easy to like take the view and shrink it down to look at these relievers clearly affected by the Hader situation, not being able to do their jobs because they don't believe that the front office or they don't believe that the ownership thinks that this is a winning team. But there are flaws all around on this squad. And I don't know that any of those flaws are exclusively because Josh Hader is no longer a member of the Milwaukee Brewers. I talked about some of the defensive miscues. We got to talk about the runners in scoring position, because that has been something that has plagued this team all season long, Gabe.
Yeah, because they're not a good offensive team. Like, they're a streaky offensive team, and that's just a part of the identity. It's part of the team that they built of, okay, this team, in order to score a bunch of runs, someone has to get hot. We saw it coming out of the All-Star break. Hunter Renfroe got hot, hit a bunch of dingers, was driving people in. The offense was cruising along fine. His bat kind of cools off a little bit during this Pirates series, and the Brewers at times struggle scoring runs because they don't have that hot bat right now. I mean, Willy Adames can heat up. Christian Yelich has been swinging the bat better, but he's more of a get-on-base, you know, score-run type guy instead of hitting it out of the ballpark type guy right now. So the offense is going to be inconsistent. And when the offense is as inconsistent as it has been, you're going to have stretches where you lose three or four games. This happened earlier this season where the Brewers jumped out to a huge lead in the division. Cardinals caught up, pulled even, then the Brewers pulled away once again. Ultimately, the Brewers are a better team than the Cardinals. They'll have that opportunity next Friday. They start a three-game series down in St. Louis. They've got five games at Miller Park between now and then where they go 4-1. How much are we talking about the Josh Hader trade if they win four out of the next five games against a Rays team that has been struggling and a bad Cincinnati Reds team that comes to AmFam Field starting tonight?
800-990-3776. We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Bad timing or bad sign? And if you are in the bad sign camp, let us know why. We want to hear from you. 800-990-3776. We'll be right back after this.
Make plans to attend an exciting, family-friendly baseball experience in Lake Country. It's the Lake Country Dockhounds. This pro baseball team is now playing at the brand-new Wisconsin Brewing Company Park in Oconomowoc. It's right off the interstate. Super easy to get to. Plus, it's family-friendly. Tickets starting at just $8 with home games featuring some memorable promotions and theme nights, including a theme night coming up in 15 days. It's going to be featuring the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Woo! For fan giveaways, promotions, game tickets, and more, just go to the website, dockhounds.com. Unleashing baseball in Lake Country is your Lake Country Dockhounds. Visit dockhounds.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Giannis stirs Sixers. With
beep.
Sit-down celebration.
Did you say
Yeah, you did.
What is it?
Ire.
Oh, tomato, tomato, get off my back.
Man, sugar makes Chewy angry.
Yeah, it does.
He's turning into the Hulk. Chewy smash!
On 94.5 ESPN.
It does feel at least like the Brewers players think they need to figure it out. Think that, you know, they need to be held to the same standard that they've always been held to, which is to go out there and win games. Doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter about trades, doesn't matter about disruptions or distractions or chemistry and that type of stuff. You know, Christian Yelich saying you'd be lying if you said it didn't have an effect, but at the same time, we're pros. You got to go out there and do whatever you have to do to perform at your best and get the job done. We weren't able to do that those last 3 days, but it didn't really have anything to do with not having Josh. Let's get to some of your reaction on the old National Bank talk and text line. Terry in the 920 wing and saying, I think they got rid of Hader because they did not want to have another Axford. Axford should have been gotten rid of over a year before he was finally let go. Gabe, do you see any similarities between the John Axford situation
No.
and the Josh Hader situation?
Not even a little bit, because John, so most closers, it's funny. So I looked at this list earlier this week. Like the number of guys who are on the top 10 in terms of saves this year versus last year, there's only like three, maybe four. So half of these relievers, half of these guys that are getting closing opportunities get cycled through the position pretty quick. The Brewers went through that. They had Derek Turnbow. They had John Axford. And, you know, it's just a volatile position where having the success that Josh Hader has had over his career in that position, being reliever of the year multiple times, being a four-time All-Star for the Brewers, you know, closing in on that all-time saves record that Dan Plesac has, like, over the course of that, like, yeah, it's just him having that success is tremendous. And I don't think at any point they were worried about him turning into John Axford and turning into a pumpkin. In every one of those seasons, Hader had some issues. You know, there have been some ups and downs. We just went through that issue before the All-Star break where he gave up the six runs, blew a couple of saves against the Giants. And it seemed like everything was going to be fine. He went, spent some time with his family over the All-Star break, pitched a pretty good inning in his first appearance post-All-Star break before he ended up getting traded. I do not see any parallels between the two. Ultimately, the Brewers knew they were going to have to trade Josh Hader because they didn't want to pay whatever salary he was going to get, and they decided that now was the time to get the most in return.
Do you guys want to know where they're at power rankings? Because it is very, it's National League heavy.
Ooh, hold on.
At 10, any guesses? 10, it's an American League team.
When is this from?
This is from after Hader.
But for, okay, so post-trade deadline.
Yes.
American League team number 10, I will say the Houston Astros.
Right division.
Jennifer? Surprised. I didn't think this team was even in the mix.
Oh, no, they're definitely in the mix.
They're fun.
No,
they're a
it's
fun
not.
Team.
Who?
The team that's at 10.
Ashton. Oh, you look?
I thought you just guessed who it was.
I did, but then Ashton... When Ashton said right division, that meant there was only one other team that it could have been.
All right, well, who is it?
Seattle. Are they good?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're fun.
They're fun.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. 9, National League team.
Cardinals.
Jet?
Brewers.
Cardinals are 9. 8.
American or National?
National.
Brewers.
I will say the... Yeah, probably Brewers.
All right. It is the Brewers.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
7, American League. This team is eh. They
Twins?
Can't. Who?
The Twins?
Jen?
I don't know the American League as well.
I don't think they can win it. I don't think they can. And I've watched them quite a bit.
They're coming up to AmFam next week.
Really?
Yeah. I don't get it either.
They've been playing terrible baseball.
I know. That's why I'm shocked.
So, like, I saw
Toronto. By the way. It's Toronto Blue Jays.
I thought it was the Rays.
Oh.
No.
I mean, they've been playing great. Yeah, the Tampa Bay Rays have also been playing terrible baseball.
Go back to bat, all right?
I can see two words from here. I thought it was a Tampa Bay Rays.
Okay.
Whatever, same division.
I mean, it's TB, so you see...
I don't think Toronto can win it.
I don't think so either.
I don't either. 6 is National League. Jen, what do you got?
All right, I got to think of the National League teams that are above the Brewers, so we're talking about leaders. It's got to be the Braves.
Yeah, I'll go Braves here.
Braves are 6.
National League.
Give me...
You said this list is National League heavy or American League heavy?
A National League heavy. 5, another National League.
We've got Cardinals, we've got Brewers, we've got Braves.
5, I am going to say the step right up and meet the Mets.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be, right? I mean, between all that's... Who else is left besides them and the Dodgers?
Come on, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you got to
think. Who's left beside between them?
Think.
No!
I missed it. We're back. The Friars are 5.
I assumed that they'd be higher.
It should be. It should be 1.
4. National League.
That's got to be the Mets.
You can't put the Mets in front of the Padres. You kidding me? What a joke.
Come right out and meet the Mets. There was no meeting.
Well, Padres are going to step right out.
3, another National League team.
What?
National League. Heavy.
So they're saying They're saying the Dodgers are three?
Oh, no, they chance. Might be American Dodgers League. I'm not one. Sure. Dodgers are one. There's no way they put anybody.
It's either American or National. I really don't know.
Okay, so we, that's
so it's the Astros. It's the
Astros. Astros are three.
That's an American League team there,
Pat. Right, because we know that the Yankees and the Dodgers are the top teams.
Yeah, but in my defense, when they used to be in the National League.
I know exactly what you're going to say. Yeah, so, back in the day.
Two American
Yanks.
Yeah, and then obviously the Dodgers.
You so sure? Brewers and Cardinals well, are right down there.
Like there was only one National League team left. So when he's like National League team, I'm like they're at three. They're putting the they're
so
putting
is
the
it
Astros and
is
Yanks
it National League heavy? 1-1
sounds like it's split.
2-1 I'm an idiot. I need the microdose.
Psychedelics. We are asking you this morning, bad timing or bad sign, the Brewers dropping their last 4-3 late inning losses since the Josh Hader trade. Lots of reaction rolling in, guys. Matt from Milwaukee saying, my goodness, it's only been three games and baseball is a long season. Like Aaron Rodgers says, R-E-L-A-X. But I have a lot of people also weighing in, guys, saying that the team and the players are pouting. J-Love in the 414 saying it's a bad sign because Brewers players are pouting. Tim weighing in saying people and players are mad that management, knowing they're built to win, close, one-run games, traded the best closer in baseball for a can of soup. In essence, they punted on the season. They're D-O-N-E done.
Wow. I mean,
are we going to have the same comment in a week?
But here's the problem. They traded the guy who was number one in the league in saves for the guy who was number two in the league in saves.
Ah, but come on. Right. Fans don't care about that.
Also having Devin Williams on the roster.
Yeah.
You don't look at something and say we traded number one for number two and be like, oh, that's fine. If you're a nuts about your team, you can say we traded our one for number two. Why would we do that? That's the way they're looking at it.
What management did is they went, okay, this is the most we can get for a guy we can't afford to keep. The difference for this season is going to be relatively negligible if guys perform the way they should perform. That's what management did. Management didn't punt on the season. Management didn't say this isn't a good enough team to win the World Series. They are balancing all the time, trying to win now and win in the future. That's all the Brewers are doing.
So what do you make of comments, Gabe, that say the owner who can't or won't afford to pay best MLB reliever for 1 year before free agency can't afford to own a team, he should sell?
That's
fine. What Truth Hurts is saying on Twitter in reaction to our poll.
I don't have a problem with that. You know, again, because that comes down, like, it's not David Stern. We talked about this. Now, it is David Stern's fault that they decided to, you know, designate for assignment one of the pieces they got in that trade. Yeah. That's a terrible look. You can't be doing that. Like, you just absolutely can't. You can't go, this is the best trade package we could get, and then take one of those intriguing trade pieces who finished fourth in the National League Cy Young Award race 2 years ago and go, now he's not going to be on our team.
Well,
that's a terrible look.
If you have the reputation, especially if you have the narrative surrounding you that you can take pitchers who are having issues, who have had troubles, and you can rehabilitate them, which is something that the Brewers have kind of touted and put out there. But I also mentioned to you guys when we were talking about this, isn't it just bad timing? You're getting Freddie Peralta back. You're getting some of these guys back, and all of a sudden, you've got more players than you know what to do with. And to that, Gabe, you made the point of, shouldn't you have seen that coming?
Yeah.
Didn't you know that those guys were in the pipeline, getting ready to be back on the team, getting ready to rejoin the big league roster?
Yeah, you kind of knew that this was happening. You didn't have to bring up Keston Hiura. You didn't have to do that right now. No, you chose to. These are the decisions you made. It's no matter what you ended up doing, it ends up being a bad look for Stearns. And yes, if you don't think that, you know, if you were someone that wanted to hold on to Josh Hader and not get anything in return for him, then yeah, pay him the $16 million next year. And they could have easily afforded to pay the $16 million next year. It's not about that. It's about keeping him a year and a half from now. It's about trying to get some return from those players. When you're a team like the Brewers, and we see this with the Rays all the time, you end up trading players in order to get value in return. That's what you're trying to do.
Chewy, you said you're going to be paying attention to the bullpen. How many games can they go back of the Cardinals? We're not manifesting this. We're not putting it out there into the universe, but we're simply saying we know that this is going to be a dogfight between these two teams down to the stretch. If they drop a couple more and the Cardinals continue to win, what, is three? Does three feel like you don't want to get any further behind than that?
Yeah.
Or are you still in the mix?
No, they're still in the mix, but didn't we say yesterday that being in the two spot is actually better than the one spot?
overall seeding, not seeding in the division. You got to win the division.
You have to win the division.
If you do not win the division, there is a chance you miss the playoffs.
Just
because
stay
there are
close.
There are some good wild card possibilities that you're going to have to fend off.
I mean, they got to play the Cardinals a handful more, right?
Oh, yeah. They've got three against the Cardinals starting next Friday in St. Louis.
Yeah, if it gets to five, Jen, then you really start to worry.
John weighing in on our Twitter account saying, I don't think the four losses are because Hader is gone. I think it's because the Brewers showed little commitment to winning and the 25 men felt that it's not as fun to be there. Keep getting us your reaction to the Milwaukee Brewers losing streak, whether you think it's just bad timing to lose a bunch of games in a row or you actually think it is a bad sign of things to come for this squad. We'll take a break. Roll on after this.
Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. Turns out, I had low testosterone, had no idea. I've talked with Kevin. He's the founder and CEO of Mentality. And the reason why he started this company is because he was tired, groggy, just didn't feel like himself, couldn't get through the day the way he used to be able to. Well, turns out that was low testosterone. I go, kind of sounded like me when I started doing the morning show. I figured I'm just waking up earlier in the day. My day's a little bit different, so I'm a little more tired throughout the course of the day. It's because I'm waking up earlier. No, turns out my testosterone levels were low. I went to Mentality, went through their blood panel, found out that those testosterone levels were low, and now I am on a custom testosterone treatment that they put together for me. And I feel great. I get through my day. I have the energy to be able to do the show and everything else that I need to do throughout the course of the day. Check out LowTUSA.com. That is their website. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Find out more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatment at LowTUSA.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I actually love hot tamales.
I do not.
No. Like the
candy hot
tamales. Is
that the one with
tamales.
The corn where you're eating the husk and stuff like that?
No, you should not be eating the husk.
You're not?
If you're eating the husk, that's why you don't like
it. Come on.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Your opportunity to get up to Lambeau Field and watch the Green Bay Packers in practice tonight. I was going to say in action, but it doesn't really feel like it is actually action. But at least you'll be able to see your favorite players out there on the field. Now, Aaron Rodgers will be there wearing a red jersey, likely, right? Because you're still not hitting the quarterbacks in the family night practice. And he has certainly been atop the news cycle over the last 24 hours, 48 hours, since that podcast dropped where he talked about his ayahuasca journey. Lots of people weighing in. I saw Shannon Sharp talking about how he believes Rodgers will get a call from Roger Goodell or from somebody associated with the league telling him to simmer down now. You know, we don't need to be talking about that stuff. Maybe that's your journey. Maybe that's what you're up to, but it gives the league a bad look to have you out there talking about, you know, the hallucinogens that you're taking in the offseason, even if they are not in the United States. But Colin Cowherd weighed in on this yesterday as well. And I'm not sure, guys, that Colin Cowherd is the biggest fan of Aaron Rodgers, but he always has some kind of provocative thoughts about why he is the way he is. Take a listen to Cowherd's latest on the quarterback in Green Bay.
I'm semi-serious here, but I like my pro athletes to be married to strong women. They call you out on their crap. I got into an argument with a friend not long ago. My wife told me right to my face, be a man, call him, don't be passive-aggressive. She was right, I was wrong. Had I been single, I would have become self-absorbed, pointing fingers. Kevin Durant's had some weird decisions in recent years. You think if he was married, he went to his wife and said, I'm going to leave Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Steve Kerr, the best owner, GM in the league, and I'm going to go and play with Kyrie Irving. His wife would have said, get in the damn phone, have lunch, figure it out. You're leaving by yourself. Kyrie Irving, I'm not getting a vax. I believe if Kyrie Irving was married, his wife would have said, get to a damn pharmacy. You're part of a team. Get over yourself. James Harden, Aaron Rodgers, rich, getting older, single. No woman to hold you accountable. You look at those Super Bowls, a lot of married dudes.
Chew, your reaction.
I'm scared to death of my wife. So, yeah, sounds good to me. You're doing what? You want to put what where? Yeah.
God, I really hope that's a gardening reference. I really hope that that's
a
perennials don't go over
there. It was a painting that I wanted over the fireplace, and she thought I was insane.
Is it the one that we've got hanging out in the hallway?
Yes.
The rendering of you after you caught a touchdown?
Senior picture style? But is there any truth to this? And maybe, again, let's not go so far as to say that Aaron Rodgers needs to be married, but like the idea of people who hold you accountable, the idea of people that you can run stuff by, the idea of, I'm thinking about doing this, what do you think? Okay, here's the positives, here's the negatives, here's the pros, here's the cons, let's make a list. Like just the idea of somebody who can hold you accountable and maybe hold your hand through some of these things. Now, that's not to say that, you know, if Aaron Rodgers did have a partner, he or she would be like, don't do the ayahuasca. It would just be like, maybe don't talk about it. Yeah. Maybe go do your thing, have your journey, but don't talk about it on a podcast because people don't need to know. Like, that's my thing. It's just this idea of having somebody, an inner circle that you can run stuff by who isn't. And Gabe, I think this is really important because Aaron Rodgers has a history of cutting people out. You know, and I'm not saying that it's not justified. I'm simply saying that there is a narrative there. People who don't feel like, if you say a thing that Aaron Rodgers disagrees with, he's going to automatically, gone. You're gone. Okay, you gave me a dissenting opinion. I don't agree with it. I'm not going to take your advice anymore. You're out of the inner circle, Gabe.
Yeah, I mean, there's something certainly to keeping you accountable. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I guess I just don't have, like, I think about Brett, you know, Chu. Like, you were real tight with him.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much you knew the Vicodin was that big of an issue. I doubt you did. You know, like, there's a way to hide it.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, if you've got it, but we all had inklings, you know.
Yeah.
But the problem is, and we talk about it, these high-profile athletes always surround themselves with yes men.
Yeah.
You know, no one's there to tell him, no, that's a bad idea. And Brett probably had a little bit of that towards the end of his career. Like, someone just said, Brett, your own locker room, that's probably not a good idea. And you know who was one of his biggest yes men? Was Mike Sherman. Could you imagine Brett going home in the middle of a preseason game with Holmgren as the head coach?
No.
You know, and that's the problem. You got no one to keep them level. Because they like their yes men. I mean, we all like yes men, right? Wasn't that funny? And you get the fake laugh, and hey, that's the problem. I don't think the wife has anything to do with it.
But
it's,
I think,
who,
yeah,
you surround yourself with.
Yeah, I think that's just everybody, you know, having that level of accountability, you know.
Yeah.
You think of, you know, I know everybody made the big deal out of Kyle Murray and his contract, and I mean, I still don't know why that leaked the way it leaked, but. You know, again, he's young, but do I think that Kyler Murray can't win a contract or win a Super Bowl because he's not married? Like, that's taking it too far. But yeah, you want to be able to have people around you that hold you accountable. But that's also something you don't learn until you're getting older, right? Like, you're going to, like, as a younger, more immature person, like, if somebody called me on my BS, like, I'm not responding to it well. Whereas if somebody were to call me on my BS now, it's like,
and a lot of these
guys,
I
understand where you're coming from.
A lot of these guys, Jen, they love to dish it out, you know, but they can't take it. Like, well, you can't make fun of me because I have my circle of people around me and I have my entourage, you know. A lot of guys turn into that.
And I do think that Rodgers has been notoriously sensitive over the years. I think part of this journey he's on is to try to get away from that a little bit, to not be so affected by opinions and people who criticize and those sort of things. It's something that he did address in the podcast. But Gabe, to your point, how much does mutual respect play a role in this? And if you are Aaron Rodgers, where you've always been wired to believe that you are better than the majority of the people around you, it may be hard to find people that you have common ground with. It may be hard to find people who see things similarly to you. I know he and Randall Cobb are very tight, and it does feel like that friendship is based in mutual respect and admiration. And Rodgers, even on the podcast, was talking about how he appreciates that Randall can sit with his emotions and he can have a full-blown conversation with tears streaming down his face. It's something that he himself has never been able to do. So it does feel like there's a level of respect there, maybe because they both are NFL players and have been through the grind and understand what it takes to succeed at this level. But it does feel like Rodgers keeps his circle very small. And so, again, there is an accountability that having a spouse provides, because you have that vulnerability of, I know that you have my best interest in mind, and I know that if I'm about to misstep, I can count on you to say, whoa, 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 buddy, hey, let's not go there, let's go this way. And so, again, I'm not going to go as far, because the argument I would make to Coward's point about being married is, well, Baker Mayfield's been married. Baker Mayfield's been married for several years, and that doesn't stop him from playing Halo, or, you know, kind of creating a situation that has his NFL career exploding, or has teams, you know, questioning his maturity level and his willingness to put everything aside for the team, right? Because his wife Emily could have stepped in at any time and been like, really? Video games? Again, dude?
But Jen, sometimes it can be a dad. You know what I mean? And we all know that Aaron and his parents' relationship is kind of frayed. I mean, Brett did some things later in his career after his father died, because his dad would keep him in line. You know what I mean? Dad would call him after every game and ream him, even though he had a great game, and just keep him in line. Maybe that's part of it, you know? I mean, my dad would keep me in line. You know, I keep my kids in line. I'm sure you keep your kids in line. Maybe that's missing a little bit, you know?
If I wasn't in bed by 9 o'clock, well, I don't have to tell you what happened.
Gabe, you're the most recent married of the group here. Do you find yourself handling things differently now that you are in a relationship? I mean, again, not saying that your relationship wasn't, you guys were together, obviously, for a while, but even before the relationship, do you find yourself now having that sounding board and somebody who you can say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Well, let's talk through it, you know? And that's not to say that you don't make good decisions on your own. It's simply saying that when you're at a crossroads, how much do you rely on your spouse to help you navigate that?
Yeah, it's not just a spousal thing. And again, I said it before, and I maintain it, that my relationship with my wife hasn't changed just because we got married. Like, I feel like we were there before. But I would say I've got an inner circle that I can trust, that anytime I need to, you know, you might, like, she's always going to be involved in those conversations, obviously, because she's my wife. But I have probably different people that I can go to depending upon what's bothering me. You know, if it's a work thing, if it's a personal thing, if you know, whatever. There are probably different people that I can go to sound off on.
Who's keeping you in line tonight? Ashton?
Gabe's going to be a bad influence tonight.
Oh, of course he is.
Look at his face. Oh, I can already tell.
I'm going to do my best, Ashton, to make sure you're not blacked out.
You got to get to the food truck, dude. I also think that it gets more complicated, guys, the further along in your career you are, the more success you have. You always have to be conscious of what other people's agendas and motives are as well. I don't know this guy that did the podcast with Aaron Rodgers, but it certainly was mutually beneficial for him and his platform and his company to have Aaron Rodgers, future Hall of Famer, you know, four-time MVP, coming on and talking about his experiences that they have shared, right? Like, he gains a little bit of clout from being associated with Aaron Rodgers. So it just feels like, again, it's a tough position for Rodgers to be in, but I'm not wholly dismissing Cowherd's point of having that sounding board, somebody who holds you accountable, especially when you're making decisions that can be parsed and criticized by the masses. Whoa, we got to take a break. We got to roll on right after this. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy wrapping up on a Friday.
Chewy, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Because you may or may not have said some things about being married and how it wasn't great earlier in the show. Your wife wasn't listening. She's got spies. That message is going to get back to her. So you're going to have to make up for it somehow.
Bob. Well, there's only one way to make up for it, and that's going to the jewelry center. Let's be honest. Most guys don't have a clue when it comes to buying jewelry. Gabe just got engaged and married and did the smart thing. Got both rings at the jewelry center. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry, like my Super Bowl ring when it needs work. I know where I'll be taking it to the jewelry center. They've got three locations to stop into: Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts online at shoptjc.com. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The jewelry center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington, and online at shoptjc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
No. I think
as
we need
in
to
Dairy
asterisk.
Queen. Very good.
I think we need to asterisk.
Asterisk.
Right there. You're right there.
I am a man of integrity.
Oh, I know that.
And
on 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
that Brian D planned to have his wedding on International Beer Day, Gabe? I mean, you know him better than everybody here. Was this an intentional thing by Brian D that in addition to getting married to the love of his life, Shawnee, he also could celebrate International Beer Day with his closest pals?
I mean, he is a big LeBlanc Blue guy, and even though I think some of that is now manufactured here in the States, it is a Canadian beer, so he is a big lover of the... I am looking forward to their wedding. I think it's just a crazy random happenstance that ends up happening on International Beer Day, and I'll enjoy some suds with my buds tonight at the GKB event of the summer.
Event of the summer. I thought your wedding was the event of the summer.
No, this is more. There's a bunch of GKB, even more GKB people at this wedding. This is the GKB event of the
summer. Under over on Ashton leaving.
Why is this about me?
I said 2.
Oh, he'll be gone before 2.
Wait,
no. What are you talking about? 2 o'clock? 2 a.m.?
Yes.
Set it at midnight. I think midnight's.
Yeah, I don't even know how long they have the venue for, and I don't know where the after party is.
Joshy will be all shined up, and he'll be like,
"Gone by 9."
You're crazy.
No, not. I mean, gone. Not
you have
gone.
That little bit of you. You don't want to miss anything.
FOMO.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm not missing anything. I'll just be missing what no one's going to remember.
Will you Irish goodbye?
No. I'm not like you.
Not many people.
Wow. You should maybe learn.
Yes.
Would that be beneficial tonight of all nights?
It'd be beneficial for you. Yes. Because if I know you're leaving, I may or may not try to, you know,
it'd be so rude
get
to
you another drink.
It'd be so
oh
rude.
Oh, my God. It's such an egomaniac move to think that everyone needs to know when you're leaving.
Okay, that's not how I'm... wow, me of all people?
On a Friday?
Whoa.
We got to chew on that till Monday?
Jeez. Sorry.
This has been Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Thanks for hanging out with us all week long. Wildy and Tosh is next on ESPN Wisconsin. We appreciate all of the listeners, and hopefully we can be back on Monday. But, of course, you never know, do you guys? See ya!